Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the two most well-known parables of our Lord Jesus are the prodigal son and the good Samaritan. And that is our parable for today. What is the proper understanding of the parable of the good Samaritan, and how does it apply to you and me today is our focus. The meaning of this parable can be summarized briefly in this way. When we try to justify ourselves without Christ, we are like the lawyer, wondering what we can do to inherit eternal life rather than receiving it as a gift. Secondly, Jesus is like the Good Samaritan who has shown mercy to you, because you and I are like the ones who've been beaten by the robbers. And then lastly, by faith connected to Jesus Christ, who is like this Good Samaritan, because we are the body of Christ, we do desire to have compassion on others, to serve them in acts of mercy, and indeed love our neighbor as ourself. You see, my friends, the Christian life of faith is about Jesus Christ taking care of us. The Christian life of works is about us showing mercy and love and taking care of others. The Lord wants our faith. Our neighbor needs our works. And that's what our focus will be today. First, let's consider what are called the first and second table of the law of the Ten Commandments. Then we'll look at the man Jesus Christ as the embodiment of the gospel, showing mercy like the Good Samaritan to you and me. And then we'll look, what is the life of the Christian of faith and works so that we show mercy to others as the Lord has been merciful to us. So let's begin. The first thing we need to take a look at is what are called the first and second table of the law, because this is what the lawyer and Jesus quotes from before he tells the parable. Here's the context. This lawyer has ulterior motives. He wants to put Jesus to the test. And so he stands up and he acts respectful. Teacher, rabbi, I have a question for you. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? He wanted to earn eternal life by his works. So Jesus never falls for anyone's tricks. As the Son of God, who is omniscient, he knows exactly what's going on. And thus Jesus says, well, what is written in the law? That is the moral law, the Ten Commandments. Now this man, of course, as a faithful Jew, he knows the Ten Commandments. Love the Lord your God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, you've heard often the explanation of the Ten Commandments are divided into two parts. The first table of the law, Commandments 1, 2, and 3, is to love the Lord your God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's a relationship between us and God. No other gods before him. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. And remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Then, the second table of the law, love your neighbor as yourself, are Commandments 4 through 10. Honor your parents, do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, and do not covet. Love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus tells him, you have answered correctly. Do this perfectly then, and you will live. The lawyer was seeking to justify himself. So he said, well, who is my neighbor? Now what happened here is that this man knew, if he was honest with himself, that he could not keep these Ten Commandments perfectly. He knew that he really did not love his neighbor as himself. He loved himself first, and he knew that he didn't really love the Lord, his God, with heart, mind, and strength, because he, like all of us, have had other gods. But he was trying to justify himself, and so he defers and tries to deflect the effect of the law on his heart, and kind of sarcastically says, well, you know, who is my neighbor anyway? See, for you and me, the same thing applies. The moral law, the Ten Commandments, have not passed away. The moral law, the Ten Commandments, are still in effect today. The first table, to love the Lord your God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. No other gods, don't take his name, and remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, which means be in church, still apply to us today. And the second table, to love our neighbor as ourselves, to honor those who are in authority, do not kill or commit adultery or steal or bear false witness, and do not covet, as the Old Testament lesson said today, to love our neighbor as ourselves, still applies today. And you know, in the Catechism, it teaches us there's also three uses for the law. The Ten Commandments, first use is a curb on society, so we have laws in the civil realm. The second use, however, is as a mirror, because when we look at the Ten Commandments, we look at it like a mirror, and we see that we've broken every last one of them, and we stand condemned because of our sin. And thirdly, this law is a guide in the Christian life. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means to love the Lord, to honor his name, to honor my parents, to love others, etc. This still applies to us today. But you know, that second use of the law, because you confessed your sins as a poor, miserable sinner before you heard absolution this morning, we are aware of the sins of thought. We may not do it, but we may think it. The words that we said, which we can no longer take back because they've come out of our mouth. And the deeds that we have done, of which we are ashamed. We cannot justify ourselves. We have omitted to do that which is right, and we have committed that which is wrong. That is why we confess our sins at the beginning of every single divine service. We realize, unlike this lawyer, there is no way that we can justify ourselves. It must come from outside of us, from someone else. So that's the proper understanding of the first and second table of the law. Secondly, why does Jesus then tell this parable of the Good Samaritan? And how is Jesus like the Good Samaritan? And how are you and I like the man beaten up by robbers? Who are we? We are like the man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jerusalem's up on the mountain, and you have to go all the way down, almost sea level, to go down to Jericho. We are the ones who have fallen among robbers. We've been stripped, beaten, and left half dead. We are the ones who have been ignored by the priests and the Levites. We've been seen but passed by. We are the ones who Jesus has had compassion upon to take care of us for our healing. You see, all of mankind has been beaten down by the law and wounded by this life, by ourselves, by others, by the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. We are the ones left by the side of the road. And Jesus, however, is like the Good Samaritan. He has made the journey from heaven to earth. He sees exactly where you are. He has had compassion on you. Jesus has come and bound up our wounds and poured oil and wine, which was medicine, upon our wounds. Jesus is the one who put us upon his own donkey and brought us to the innkeeper to take care of us. Jesus is the one who paid the 2 denarii to the innkeeper to take care of this poor man, that is you and me. And he repays all the expenses when he came back. This is the one, Jesus, who has shown us mercy and compassion. Think of how in your life, despite the afflictions and the woes, Jesus has had mercy upon you, your spouse, your children, and your grandchildren. Life never works out the way we expect it. But when the twists and turns of this life and the afflictions and woes come upon us, we know that every step of the way, Jesus is there to carry our woes and our sorrows upon himself. He is like the Good Samaritan who has come and showed mercy upon you. Thank the Lord today that you are sitting here in the divine service, that Christ has had mercy on you and forgiven your sins, At every step of your life, he continues to show mercy and compassion on you. Therefore, thirdly, the life of the Christian then will be a life of faith and works. Faith in God and works for our neighbor. The life of the Christian is described by Paul in Colossians chapter 1, which has got to be one of the most beautiful chapters in all the epistles. This description of what Christ Jesus has done by the will of God through God our Father is beautiful. The grace of God in truth, his glorious might has come to us through his beloved Son. And if you notice closely this morning, Paul said that you as a Christian through faith in Christ have received grace, peace, faith, the word of truth, his will in the gospel, love, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, joy, and inheritance in the kingdom of light, redemption, the forgiveness of sins, being transferred from darkness into light. You have the sure hope of heaven, and you have endurance now. Christ has done all that for you. Therefore, we have faith in God the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord wants our faith and our trust. But our neighbor needs our works. Now we serve our neighbor by works. Being justified by grace, the sanctified life is like a good tree that bears good fruit. Now we are to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, doing that which is pleasing to him, Paul said, bearing fruit in every good work. So Jesus says to you and me, like he said to this lawyer, now you go and do likewise. Show mercy like Jesus, who was like the Good Samaritan, to others. You know, we don't have to scratch our heads and try to figure out, well, how am I going to show mercy to others? Love your neighbor as yourself, summarized in Commandments 4 through 10, is as clear as a bell. If you want to love and show mercy and compassion, you honor your parents and those who are in authority. Rather than killing and hating, you love other people, even your enemies. You do not commit adultery, but you are faithful to your spouse. Not only will you not steal, you will help people improve their property and business. Not only will you not gossip about others, but put the best construction in everything. And instead of coveting, you will be content with what the Lord has given you. The purpose of your life connected to Christ is not to serve yourself, but to serve your neighbor. In my experience as a pastor, the happiest people are the people who are serving others. And the people who are the most disgruntled are always thinking about themselves first. You find yourself by loving and serving your neighbor. That's what Jesus says, is if you seek to find yourself, you will lose it. If you lose yourself for my sake and the gospel, you will find it. When you get up in the morning, your daily vocation and calling, whether it's husband or wife, father and mother, child, employer, employee, is to serve your neighbor in mercy. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is this next weekend for about a week, beginning its every third year convention. And the mission theme of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is witness, mercy, and life together. It has been for the last 15 years. Witness to Christ, show mercy to all, and in our life together, showing love and compassion to one another. This is the purpose of your life. So, my friends, in conclusion, this parable of the merciful Samaritan is a beautiful picture of how Jesus Christ in his teaching, his healing, his crucifixion, and his resurrection has had mercy and pity on us. He has bandaged us and healed us by his oil and wine. In baptism, absolution, and the Lord's Supper, we have faith in Christ Jesus and love for all the saints. He says, go and do likewise, a new life of faith and works. The Lord wants your faith, Your brother needs your works. Today and every day, by word and prayer, nurture your faith. And when you get up in the morning, ask the Lord, how today can I serve my neighbor in compassion and love and works of mercy? This is what Jesus teaches us in the parable of the Good Samaritan. God grant us faith for God and love for our neighbor. To the praise of Christ Jesus alone. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We stand